A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
We went to the big guy. We told him we had this great idea for a new game called Sonic and Knuckles.
It's Knuckles in his own game. Plus, it has new technology.
Lock-on technology.
So you can play Knuckles in Sonic 2 and 3.
It's revolutionary.
He just laughed at us.
So we sold the whole thing to Sega.
Who's laughing now?
Sega Genesis. Sonic and Knuckles and other game cartridges, each sold separate.
Separate.
Lock-on technology.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Freaking Sega with their stupid names like lock-on technology and blast processing.
What should we call it? Lock-on technology.
Jerks. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Play Retro. This is Scott Johnson. I'm one of your hosts, and I like Sonic as much as the next guy, but when I want to ramp up my edgy 90s lifestyle, I break out the red boxing dude and get serious about the fight. Take that, Dr. Mr. Robotnik Man, Bean Guy, whatever his name is, I will retain my rings and jam this cartridge into the other one in an unholy, unnatural way.
Oh, so unnatural and unholy. And I'm your other host, Brian Dunaway, and I just slotted in my Game Genie first, and then plugged in my Sonic and Knuckles on top of that, and now I'm going to use lock-on technology for this Sonic 3 as a supersonic cherry on top, and now I have like 6 vertical feet of 90s cart stacking that will allow me to play Sonic 3 as the developers intended it, as some sort of Sega Jenga. That thing's definitely going to crash. That always makes me nervous stacking that high.
Mm-hmm. You could hear them yelling. Instead of yelling Sega, yelling Jenga. You could hear it.
Yeah, Jenga!
Yeah.
Jenga!
That's some blast processing for you there. We're going to talk all about that game, Sonic 3 and Knuckles, Sonic and Knuckles, which I thought up to last week was two separate games. And the truth of it is much more complicated than that. It's a very weird move by Sega toward the end of the 16-bit era and the end of the original 16-bit run of Sonic games. And we thought that would be a fun topic for today. But before we dive in, a couple things I want to talk about. I found something this week that cracked me the F up. Here it is, Brian. I got to put it in Discord so you can see it directly. Chat, you'll be able to see it. People at home listening, audio only, I will try to describe what this is. If you follow the NBA at all, you'll know that for the first time...
Now's a good time to follow the NBA, right? Now is the season of our game, right?
Yeah, it's a season of our game. When was the last time that the Detroit Lions won a playoff position? Well, I'm about to show you. And I'm doing it in video game language, all right? So, Brian, this is Madden when they won last versus Madden when they won this year.
Okay, give me it.
Look at that.
Oh, give me this. I got to see this crap.
Yeah, it's in Discord.
All right. I'm getting it.
Look at this,
oh,
guys.
Oh, my God. That is hilarious.
First time.
Don't jerk me with your 8-bit. That's quite humorous, though.
That's pretty
Madden
great.
24.
Well, this would have been 16-bit, I think. But John Madden. Yeah, but John Madden Football 91 was the very first time that the Lions ever won an actual playoff position. And then look at the graphics down below. So they show that up on top, and then below you got this like photorealistic shot of, I guess that's your quarterback this year in Madden 24. And it, you couldn't be more, we couldn't have made more leaps and jumps in the technology.
Things have changed quite the bit. I love that they also included the ambulance in that 16-bit era type of game. I love that.
Yeah.
Picking up the Lions.
Picking up the lion that got hurt. Yeah, I owned 91, Madden 91 on my brand new spanking new Genesis. And
I think I have Madden 91 down there on my Genesis.
You might have it. But then look at this like photorealistic rendered out new game. That's just awesome.
New game. I love the hotness.
Anyway, just wanted to share that with people.
How times have changed.
Make you feel a little old. It made me feel a little old. And
how many years is that? With me.
That's been, see, 94. 91.
So that would be 33. Plus, it comes out the year before, right? So I don't know. Something like that.
That's a big chunk of time. 30
plus years.
Yeah. Think of that. Now, to just give you some perspective, 30, let's say just 30 years before 1991 would have been
1961. Yeah. That's where would you have what bit era would you be in there? No bit.
No bit era.
Get no bit.
No bits. I don't think you had any bits. Things didn't start happening until the late 60s that would lead to video games. So you were zero bits.
Yeah.
Damn. Yeah. Well, anyway, that's all fun and good. Let's Brian, let's swing it over to you. You've been working on some stuff. What's going on over there?
Oh, absolutely. So I picked up this past week. Oh, let me grab it real quick.
No problem. Grab
it. As I like to do. Yeah. I picked up I picked up a controller at the thrift store about 2 weeks ago, and I was like, what am I gonna do with that? It's a old school. This is something that it's called a Joy. It's a PC power pad. I'd never seen one before. It's this controller, this shape like a dog bone, maybe almost. It's very, you know, it's kind of unbalanced. It's Interact made this thing. It's a gamepad for your PC, and it's got all kinds of cool stuff. I don't know if you can tell the controller or not. Remember how the old controllers used to have to set the tension, a little tension switch that you could like kind of push around and stuff?
I do.
It's got all of that stuff. So this ends up being like an early 2000s controller. I had no idea what it was. I love finding crap that I've never seen before at the thrift store. I think it paid like $3 for this thing. Well, of course, it plugs into what we used to have. Either, what is it, the 15 pin that would plug into your sound card at one point in time, or you could plug it directly into your main board and you would put your joysticks. That's how you used to do it. So I had to order this Mayflash thing that converts that into PC input. So now, on my Windows 98 emulation that I like to do on my machine, I can now use this controller as well as a Sidewinder that I had for a long time ago. Remember those?
Oh, I remember those.
Microsoft Sidewinders?
Yeah.
So not a lot of use for these, but I knew I was getting ready to do Sonic, and I was pretty sure there was a Sonic released for PC at one point in time, but I think I'm confusing that with maybe Mario. There's a PC version of some of mascots that I'm like, that doesn't belong there.
Yeah, no, I understand that.
But this is that. Mike, remember these?
Look at that. Sidewinder. We used to think those were so freaking cool.
Yeah, well, I still do think it's cool. It's got like, you know, the D-pad is more like a D circle with, you know, pushy parts, and it's got six buttons on it. It looks like a boomerang, right? It looks like a nice little. Yeah, I used to use this. I think I used to play Monster Truck. Like Monster Truck games and stuff. These controllers who love this thing. I still do. Got little triggers in the front.
Yeah.
What year was this? I don't know. But anyway, there was the whole Sidewinder collection of stuff Microsoft had for the longest time. It's joysticks and control pads and all that stuff. But now I can plug that bad boy right into my Windows PC that's running the emulation.
Yeah, as you should.
That's right.
Yep. No, that's awesome. I love it, dude. You're always finding cool shit in places. I need to go to, you know what I need to do? More thrift stores, more like secondhand, whatever places. I always think, if I go to these video game focused joints, I'm going to get the best stuff. Yeah. Not always, right?
Well, you probably get the best quality stuff, but I've found that somewhere along our journey, I was like, holy crap. I'm having choice paralysis. And this is something that I've been talking about lately because there's just so much to choose from. And I have found a nice Zen organic way of progressing So now I just, wherever I go, if I go to a thrift store and I let the game find me, it's like, oh, I wasn't even planning on, you know, messing with joysticks for the PC. I wasn't planning on doing that. But when this thing found me, I was like, oh, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to explore this for a little while. So I find that very zen-like for me. If you go to a freaking store that specializes in retro stuff, you're going to be in the same situation. It's like, oh my God, they have everything here.
It's also
all
more
of it.
Money.
It's where do I want to start?
Yeah. I like little, I like weird little finds. It's like I went to a, we have a place here called Deseret Industries. We just call it the DI for short, but it's it's basically like a Goodwill. It's the same idea.
Yeah.
And we'll go in there sometimes and it'll be like, oh, here's a box that a grandma threw together. She just didn't know what was in there, but it's a Dreamcast, two controllers, a multi-tap and 15 games. And they want like $10 for it. Like, what are we even doing here?
Yeah, what, so, why are we talking about this? Why you just put it in my bag? Just put it in my bag.
Put it in my bag. That's what I
mean, Scott, know, honestly, honestly, when would I have ever purposely been looking for Doug's first movie?
Still, I wonder when you would.
I would, why I would never be out and about going, I know what I need to watch, Doug's first movie. But no, this movie found me. I was at the thrift store and it's like, Brian, it's like, what?
Yeah.
I had to get it.
Why do you?
And then there's this.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, it's just gonna ask why. How did you find the Doug one? It just caught your eye, and you were like,
"It just caught my eye." I was going through some. I was going through their stuff. I was like, "Do Doug's first movie."
If you don't know who Doug is, everyone at home, Doug is this stupid cartoon. It's a old Nickelodeon cartoon. Doug's fine. Not that I don't like it, but it's kind of a people think of Ren and Stimpy. They think of I don't know, Cow and Chicken. They think of these like weirder, more prominent ones.
Yeah.
But no one remembers Doug, right?
Doug was very gentle. And because of Doug's gentle humor and behavior, he was very non-threatening. And so when Nickelodeon kind of like, kind of stopped doing Doug, Disney picked up and went to ABC. So Doug has a future. That's how where this movie came from, Doug on Disney. So you're right. So Nickelodeon was very, you know, very harsh with a lot of their content. But Doug was one of those things that was very gentle and it had a life beyond Nickelodeon. Also picked up this E.T., which has E.T. DVD set, which I've never seen before and is not in good shape. And I love it. It's so well worn.
Hold on a second. Is this the one with the guns or with the walkie-talkies? Which one is it?
It is Scott.
Yeah.
It is both. It is both.
Shut up.
They have the original theatrical trailer on one, and then they got the updated version on the other.
Wow. Really?
So I was like, So I was like, all right.
I'm surprised by this. I did not know. I don't know what I thought. I don't know what I knew. I thought there was.
I thought, either.
I thought at one point they just said, oh, no more guns. We're putting this in. And then they tossed it. That's what I thought they did. But what? It's clearly,
like I
don't
said,
know.
From what I understand, but I haven't verified that. But from what I understand, that's how it's supposed to be.
Wow.
But I don't know.
All right. That's actually pretty cool. I want
it. I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm not going to put DVD I could deal with. I ain't doing no tapes. This is where you and
I it's a commitment to do tapes. Only because they have a DVD VCR combo with HDMI out.
Yeah.
It just makes sense.
It does make
sense.
It's
super easy.
Yeah, I agree.
It's super easy.
All right. You've been up to some stuff, clearly.
I've been up to some retro stuff. I'm having fun.
Nothing wrong with that. Now let's get up to this retro thing right here. Whoops.
Shall we play a game?
Sure, why not? Let's play a late entry into Sega's library of popular games, especially the popular Sonic series. This was originally a game designed as a single game, but split due to a shortened development time pressured by a McDonald's promotion to make all this happen. See, nobody knew this. We heard the commercials like those little elves talking. Yeah, and we were like, oh, they had this brilliant idea of separating things. And then later you could hook them together. And this is a new innovative way to play. No, this is all business bullshit behind the scene that was going on.
Yeah.
With this thing.
Yeah, this was Sega Technical Institute at this point in time was, I believe, split. So there was an American development team and a Japanese development team at one point in time. They split. And so the Sega Technical Institute went off and made Sonic 2 and 3 and this. And they had a lot of pressure put on them to complete it because they were looking at making the chef's kiss, the biggest Sonic ever. And at first they had, you know, sure, let's do it. And then about, you know, a certain point, they said, no, we've got to get this out now. And we got a McDonald's promotion coming. We've already made an agreement to. And so they had to chop it in half.
Yep.
Boom. Cut that in half.
Cut that game in half. And then they decided, I mean, kind of creatively, I think. This is where I'll give them some credit. They said, well, all right, we're forced to do this. Let's, the marketing around it will be, oh, we kind of meant to do this.
Yeah.
This is Sonic better.
In Sonic. I mean, you see Knuckles in Sonic 3, but you can't play as him, right? You got to play as Tails and Sonic. And it wasn't until later when it's like, we're going to get a proper introduction to Knuckles.
Yeah, Knuckles gets
his
own.
He's not a hedgehog.
No, he's not a hedgehog. He's a chinchilla.
And he's an enchilada.
And it's an enchilada, a very tasty one. Mm-hmm. And he's got attitude, man. Boy, howdy.
Sonic had attitude.
Yeah, you thought. Everybody stand down. A new attitude has entered the building, and his name is Knuckles. And he was, rough brawler type in the movie. They haven't played by Idris Elba, of all people, which is pretty funny. In the recent film. But I remember at the time going, yeah, dude, freaking, let's go. It's freaking Sonic. And he's just, Knuckles, he's cool. I just thought that was great.
It's rad.
And it wasn't until Big the Cat from the Sonic Adventure games that I started to change my alliances, because Big the Cat rules. I love that guy.
And what'd you say Knuckles was? Because I was trying to look it up.
He's a chinchilla.
I thought he was, something else, like an incida or something like that. I'd never heard before.
You know what? Now you say it. Now I wonder.
Now, back in the day, I just thought it was another hedgehog. I'm like, okay, Enter Hedgehog 2.
Here it is. It is a...
In development, it was supposed to originally...
Oh, you're right. He's an enchinda. How do you say that stuff? Here, you know what? We'll get the internet to
anyway,
tell us.
The important part is he's not a hedgehog, and whatever creature he's after is like, they're all like mole related, right? They're like mole people. Mm-hmm. They dig and he climbs walls and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, he's a, I guess so. I mean, that's here. Let me play some audio.
Echidna. People are saying in the chat room, I believe. Yeah.
All right. Let's see. Trying to find. I mean, he's kind of hedgehog-like, which is weird.
That's the thing. I think originally I was reading some of the interviews and stuff. He was originally going to be a couple of different things. They were looking at making him a hedgehog, a rabbit, just something cute. But we already had Tails, who's not. He's not a hedgehog.
No, he's a fox.
He's not anything.
He's a tiny fox, isn't he? He's just a fox.
I've always thought he's a fox, but he has two tails. So
well, he's like a mutant fox, but I'm sure he's a fox. Okay, here's the way you say here's how you say Knuckles thing. Here you go.
Echidna.
Now, if you look up,
but basically he can climb and he's a mole. He's mole people. Come on, let's face it. He's a mole.
Yeah, I mean, well, yeah, kind of. That's what he does. I just saw a short video here too. I didn't turn the audio on, but it's basically him building a fort to get other animals not to bug him. So he's good at that.
To not bug him. I like that you give him a personality, just like this game did. Don't bug me. I'm building a fort.
Quit bugging me. Yeah.
Leave me alone.
Okay. Here's Tails. Tails is, I just want to make this, let's see.
Clear.
He is a multiple-tailed fox. And these are common in Japanese culture, not actual. It's like a mythical thing, but it's common
mythical
over there.
Thing.
Yeah,
I got you.
But it is, so if he's truly a fox and Sonic is truly a hedgehog, there is a scale problem in this game.
Yeah, there's definitely a scale problem. But
so there's no way a full-sized fox is anywhere near the size of this tiny little freaking hedgehog. So,
I mean, forget that hedgehogs aren't super runners.
Yeah, sure. Forget about that.
They don't pocket coins either. They pocket rings. They don't pocket rings, gold rings, right? So, I mean, yeah.
Sometimes, you know what? This is a proof of something. Sometimes you just need to go out on a limb in a weird way, and you'll end up doing better in the long run than if you try to stick to the facts. Like, it's more fun.
Yeah, don't stick to the facts.
Yeah, go, especially in video game stuff. Just kind of let yourself go. Because Sonic was a giant hit. That was a huge successful platform.
I just want to run fast from left to right, because I'm tired of walking at Mario's. There's a couple of things I forgot about Sonic, because I haven't played Sonic in a good while. I played a good bit of Sonic 1 and 2, but I never played Sonic 3. And there's a couple of things I forgot. First of all, unlike Mario, who's the countdown timer, Sonic in this one, Sonic 3 and Knuckles, it counts up to 10 minutes. I didn't realize it was a time limit. I hit that time limit a couple of times this week.
The old games had it too. 1 and 2 had it.
Yeah, they did, but I couldn't remember. I couldn't off the top of my head.
I hate the time limit. I'm not a fan. Never been a fan of the time limit. Don't like it.
I'm not a fan of it because, okay. So you could argue it's like, well, you got to pause. You can pause because it's not too unfrequent. One of the things I love about Sonic is the music. Mm-hmm. And so if I'm at a certain point, you know, and you're zipping along, and you get to like a platform where you can stop for a second, you're at a checkpoint, right? You're at a checkpoint. You just swiped it. So it's like, okay, I'm going to go grab a drink or something. I'm going to leave this beautiful Sonic music playing. And I didn't realize about the timer, so I come back and like, and he dies and it starts over.
Right.
I don't need a timer. If you're gonna give me 10 minutes, give me infinite. There's no sense in even having a time limit. We're not an arcade. I'm not stuffing tokens. Let me play the music.
Well, the bad news is Mario was also a time limit.
He counted down.
Yeah, right. I hated that. I hated all the time limits. Yeah, time limits in video games are my least favorite thing in game mechanics. I hate it.
Especially platformers.
Yeah. Now I understand if you're trying to beat a record, right? You're essentially creating a time limit and you're trying to beat the one who got the better one, like in the speedrunning community. I get that. That's a different thing. But when
we put a clock up there, that's fine. We'll put a timer. Just put it up there. Just don't ever stop.
I want to explore some. I want to feel like I'm not. Oh, shit. Look what time it is. I don't want to do that in a game. Even a game like this where it's all about speed and you're trying to, you know, haul ass through these rings and everything. I get that. But I don't want to be constrained in games that way. I hate it.
And you're right. And I did not realize, because when I played Sonic back in the day, I thought there was only one way to play Sonic. Sonic was, to me as a kid, as fast as you were trying to clear the levels as fast as possible. Playing it this time, I was like, is that the way you're supposed to play Sonic? Is it more platforming? And I was like, oh, wait a minute. I think I've got this wrong. I think that you're supposed to be encouraged to explore, especially since we have new characters that have the ability to explore more, because Tails flies, Knuckles can climb, and they're getting to places that Sonic can't necessarily get to. And I'm like, oh, so I popped open a map of the full thing. And I was like, holy shit, this thing is huge. There's all kinds of just like levels. There's like three or four different, maybe even six levels worth of stuff that I can do. So I found out that usually different paths, there's way more platforming, and you're encouraged in game to continue those areas in platforming and not necessarily just fly through, which is how I always imagined Sonic was.
This is a good point you bring up, because one and two were all about rip through it.
Yes.
Two being the pinnacle of it, probably for a lot of people. It was for me. Three comes along, and Sonic and Knuckles, which I thought were the same damn game, but we'll talk about that in a minute.
Me too.
Those come along, and they inherently, by their design, they have plenty of speedy moments, but they are all about stopping you and making you think about it and go back to this thing and go down. Oh, there's a secret boing thing. Okay, I'll do that. Like they really slowed things down overall. And I think it actually hurt the franchise. Like, I prefer exploration and I prefer to be a little more Mario about things than I do just ripping through levels. But I think what happened is players went, wait a minute, that's not what Sonic is not this. Sonic isn't letting me go explore. Sonic is let's go. Let's move. Yeah. Let's
wrap
last
it up.
Process. Right. And instead,
they
slowed this game way, way down. And I'm trying to decide now, because I played a bit of it this week. I know you played a bunch as well. I'm trying to decide whether I agree with my old self. I think I still prefer Sonic to be. This is what I don't like. Sudden momentum drops. So if I'm flying through a ring and it comes down to a dead stop, that feels bad.
Which they do. They do that intentionally. It's kind of satisfying, right? Because when you're flying through, there's a little bit of just a moment of like, oh God, I'm just, look at that. I'm just spinning along like a hedgehog rolled up in a ball, and I'm collecting coins going, bling, 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 bling. It's satisfying all that, you know, that gambler in us, right? It's like, oh, I'm collecting coins. And
and then when
and
you
stuff.
Suddenly stop that, and it kind of sucks. It kind of sucks. Yeah. If you hit spikes
the
or something.
Bloom.
Yeah. Especially if it's a hazard. I hate that. Freaking piss me off.
Yeah. It's the worst.
But the, what I'm saying right now is going to make some people mad because they think that this is good design, but I don't know. I would rather, like, the newer attempts at making Sonic, they usually make that mistake too. It's too much slowing down. And this game has these big rings every 10 minutes or less, where I'm now looking at video from that, where you got to run around in a pseudo 3D grid and gather some balls. Yeah. And it's impressive for what the Genesis was capable of doing, Because I,
yeah, because you're actually going, you're going 3D essentially,
kind of, yeah.
Plane. Even though you're,
faked,
you're just basically rotating the sprites and stuff around, but it's, yeah, it looks 3D.
It's cool. Right? It looks 3D, feels 3D. They did the same thing with, I want to say Sonic CD had like a half pipe that you went down. Do I remember that right?
Right. And you actually get to go on the snowboard on this one in 3. Yeah. So you get to, which is really two dimensional, but yeah, you're right about the half pipe where you kind of is first person Sonic.
Yeah. This got old though. What they're doing right here. I got tired of this.
This got real old because you're basically playing like 3D pinball with some ability to manipulate which direction you're going into. Yep. And I don't like Tails riding my butt. Get off me, Tails.
Right in your butthole.
Right in my Sonic Hedgehog butthole.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're bouncing around. Some balls, they bounce you back. If you hit the red balls, you lose, you're out. If you collect enough of the blue balls, they turn to rings and you can collect those. So I don't think I care for any of the bonus stages in this one. And like the first and second one, when you go into the rotational worlds, those are fun. I liked those bonus levels. They had a few of them here, but they didn't feel nearly as satisfying as those earlier ones.
Yeah.
Now you had mentioned something that I think you kind of hit on what some people are frustrated with. You like the freedom to choose in Sonic whether or not you zip through or if you take your time. And I think that's one of the reasons why people really dislike the second act of Sonic, which is the which is underwater essentially, because you are forced to go slow. There's more time limits because now you have to worry about him suffocating. So you have to get to certain air pockets that you can survive with. So they're dictating the speed at which you can go with Sonic. And I don't like that. I don't care for it.
Yeah. Not a huge fan of that either. It's just a momentum.
Totally gone.
Oh, am I gone? You don't hear me? Hold on. Now do you hear me? Sorry. That was weird. Do you hear me now?
I heard something going.
Oh. You know what it is? Okay. Sorry. I'm sharing my screen with Brian so he can see it more real time and not have to worry about lag on the stream, but it made a weird sound thing.
That's fine. But you're still there. You heard everything I said.
I heard everything you said. Yeah. Oh yeah. And so did the show.
I don't have to repeat it.
Here's the good news though. what was I going to say? Oh, I was going to agree. I just don't think it's worth killing momentum. I think momentum matters in this game, and stopping momentum feels bad. And so it's why I would not put it at the top of my list. I think I'm probably Sega CD and Sega 2 are my two hallmarks for Sonic in terms of the games I enjoyed the most. We didn't even play a little audio, but I'm gonna, because it has an amazing soundtrack, amazing sound work, some of the best stuff Sega ever did, in my opinion. It goes a bit like
this. Thanks, Michael Jackson.
Yeah, thanks, Michael Jackson. Oh, I like part two. That's when Knuckles shows up, all badass. And now we're playing. I mean, it really is the height of that stuff. Now, can we get a little deeper in the Michael Jackson thing? Is it confirmed?
Yeah, absolutely.
Is it confirmed? Is it fake? Like, where are we on that?
Okay. People seem to think that it is factual. This is what I know. Everywhere I went to and everybody I listened to had no sources. They would just say, oh, this is happening. I'm not saying there aren't people out there who have presented information that do not have sources. I'm saying that everything that I looked at, no one was giving me sources. So this, to me, falls into rumor until I've been corrected with real official sources. But Michael Jackson worked on, now I think this is part of his fact, was in contract work to do stuff for Sonic 3. And whether or not that relationship crumbled because Sega stepped away from Michael Jackson because he was having some controversies at the time, or if Michael Jackson was not satisfied, I don't know. I can't say. But I do know that in the last couple of years, Sonic 3 and Sonic & Knuckles, which used to be available in different formats for, you know, Steam and their like Sonic Origins and different places that you could find the game, they were pulling it and changing it and taking music out. Presumably because Michael Jackson's estate was in some type of lawsuit. So
okay.
like I said, I've seen some interviews with people and they state it like it's fact. And you're like, oh, I should trust this person because they were on the development team. But then again, I didn't see any true sources for anything. So I don't know. It's kind of rumor for me right now. Yeah. But I believe it. How about that? I believe it.
I want to believe. Okay. I want to believe it. It's super interesting to me, that kind of stuff. But, you know, how many other video games at that time would have the biggest pop star of all time involved in it without really telling anyone?
Man, and people have analyzed the shit out of this, too. So they went back once the rumor, or, you know, the first thinkings of what this might be, people started going back and listening to comparing Michael Jackson videos and music to the music that was in Sonic. And they were pointing out this is matching. But they also pointed out that some of the people that were working on the Sonic game were also, you know, music producers and had different relationships with Michael Jackson. And so maybe that was the greater influence, and maybe that's why it sounded the same. I don't know the full story. All I know is that is there. Take it for what it is. Mm-hmm. If you want to do some deeper dive and you want to feedback and give us some, you know, legit sources and stuff, I'd love to hear about it.
There's tons
of videos on YouTube about it.
Check out this awesome music from what was called Sonic and Knuckles. Okay. Again, it's confusing because this stuff clamped together.
Yeah, now this is Sonic and Knuckles, which, okay, so Sonic 3 was released early in 94. And then to meet that McDonald's timeline and other things for the promotion. And then later in the year, near the end of the year in 94, we released the Sonic and Knuckles, which you could use to plug in Sonic 3 into the top of the cart, kind of like a Game Genie, and you could plug it in. And then you'd have the full experience as it was intended.
Yeah, which is what you want, I guess, in life. here's some music from that. I love the music in that quote-unquote second game. Or fourth game, if you want to call it that.
And some people even say that the reason why it was two carts is because they couldn't fit both of them on there. Like I said, a lot of speculation on this.
Yeah, but here it is. I love it.
Classic.
I mean, those guys were working on a different level, the music in these games.
So good.
They really were. Like, as much as you can say, oh, I love the Mario music, or what Final Fantasy was doing in the 16-bit SNES era or whatever, or you can decry the crappy sound chip and the Genesis all you wanted. Mm-hmm. The Sega games didn't seem to give a shit. It was just like, or the Sonic games rather. They were just like, no, we can make this sound great. And so here it is.
And that's the reason why, like I said, that's the reason why I would leave this music on and walk away, because I loved listening to it in the next room while I'm doing something else.
That's right.
So good.
Nothing wrong with that.
Listen, that music is so good.
You got cool
if
sounds.
Michael Jackson didn't have anything to do with it. He should like come from the back from the dead and go, give me my money.
Yeah.
Give me my money.
Someone thinks I like
it. Before we get, the music is amazing. There's no doubt about it. And Michael Jackson thing is an amazing story, if nothing else. Did you get a chance? I don't think I sent it to you. I meant to send it to you. So the level design, we talked about that for a minute.
Wait, here's your theme for level design. Okay, go ahead.
Nice. Yeah, it's so important for these platformers, especially like Super Mario. Oh, no. Come on. What happened to it? How come I lost that? Oh, man. I had a perfect. All right. So I'm going to send you a Sonic map.
All right. Send it.
Discord.
Please do. So I'll bring this up.
This is the first map with zone one. And I think it's act one and two.
Oh yeah. This is awesome.
When you first see it, you're like, oh, okay, cool. And then when you zoom in, it's like, oh my God. This thing is huge, which makes sense because Sonic is a really fast game. So he's going to eat up some space pretty quick, right?
Yep.
He's going to. And so, man.
There aren't enough rings in this. There are a total of three rings. By rings, I mean loops. Yeah. There's only three loops.
Right.
There's only three loops. Yeah, I don't like it. That's not enough loops.
It feels like there's a million. Okay, so you saw that. This is 94 when they did these level designs. This is the team at the top of their game making level designs. Now here is 1991's Mario.
All right.
3. Let's, Super Mario Brothers 3 map.
Let's take a look at that.
Just take a look at
this.
The
is 1-1, right?
Design.
Is this 1-1?
Yeah, it's just. Yeah, it's just one. There you go.
No, I mean, is it the 1-1 level? Is it?
Yeah, it is the 1-1 level. Yeah, okay. I sent you 1-1 levels on both.
All right, here we go. So there is a much simpler vibe. So, I mean, this thing doesn't have a ceiling the way that...
No.
Oh, wait, this is Mario... This is Super Mario Brothers 3.
Yeah, Super Mario Brothers 3.
Oh, you 3. Said 3. Yeah. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that would have been more comparable timeline-wise.
I was trying to get as close a comparison, a team being at the top of their game, kind of in the same time period, a few years difference. You know, I wanted to kind of give, a closer comparison. Not perfect, but a little closer. But just, such a different concept. And I'm not saying one's better than the other. I'm just saying the complexity of those damn Sonic maps.
Yeah.
Give me a headache, man.
You know what you did those today, though? You did something you didn't mean to do.
What'd I do?
You gave me some validation, because when I was a kid,
right,
I was so in love with platformers that I wanted to make my own. So I sat down with a roll of newsprint. Nice. And I mean a roll of it, because I wanted to be able to go horizontally as long as I wanted, because it's a level of a game, right? I wasn't doing it per screen. It was this scrolling thing. So I put obstacles and enemies and stuff to collect and where your guy would climb a ladder and a secret area. And I would do this stuff 30, 40 feet long and think, well, this is obviously not how they make video games or how they plan out a level, but I'm doing it this way. Well, it turns out they kind of did do it that way.
Yeah. Exactly like that.
I should have gotten into games. I should have done
that. You totally should have. We got into this into the game. It's unfortunate that me and Scott didn't. We like every part of video game making, I think. And it's unfortunate that you have to be so specialized now, or an indie gamer or indie game developer, to really get your hands on everything. Man, we would have, if I had been just a little bit older, this would have been right up our alley for all this.
The Wraith.
We got to enjoy the fruits of the labor.
That's true. That is true.
Appreciate it.
The Wraith in the chat says, do I still have that drawing? I don't know. I might. I'd have to look real hard to find that. My guess is that got lost or stuck in a box somewhere.
Yeah, that's the roll of paper newsprint. Man, that thing is...
They don't hold up. Yeah. In fact,
they don't hold up.
Let me show you this. Hold on. I got some right here. And this is just from college. Newsprint. All right. This is just college.
Let's see. You don't know newsprint. It's like what it sounds like. It's just paper. Like if it didn't have newspaper on it, it's just thin and light and
trying to make sure nobody's naked in these, because this was a life drawing class. But so what you have here.
Don't show me your drawn nudity.
There's a guy in shorts and a shirt here. And this is just college. This would have been not that long ago. I mean, still a long time ago, but
relatively.
But dude, nice stuff. It's shitty. It's bad. But the point is that this is just from then. It's already yellow and fraying and stuff. So
don't count
on your newsprint to last very long. Because
no, it's not. It's not intended to. It's not. No. What is archival? What's the word? Archival appropriate? Maybe archival.
Well, and that's why I was talking pre-show about this. But that's why that cartoon museum in Columbus, Ohio has these temperature controlled rooms. You have to wear these special gloves. There's no acidity anywhere, because there's some of that stuff is like really old paper stuff that they really want to prefer or preserve.
Right.
And so
luckily with 16 bit carts and stuff, they seem to be holding up pretty good compared to the when we started getting into CDs and stuff. Those are the ones that are most danger. When it comes to preservation of video games, those CDs.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. And then forget the tiny little easy to destroy GameCube games. Those things are fragile.
Oh, very fragile.
They flake off and everything else. It is not good.
They're bigger flakes than I was in high school when it came to homework. Right.
Now, what I'm saying? God.
Yeah.
Were you a Sonic Tails or Knuckles guy? I mean, you didn't really play this one, so probably not Knuckles guy.
I played this one, but I just didn't understand that they were two different games. In fact, I think I probably played. Was there ever a version where it was just one cart and they put it all together and not connect them?
Not unless you played it. I think they released like CD versions later on that would have had all these. So you may have experienced them that way. But I don't think they ever had a single cart, because once again, I think that was one of the things too. And maybe they didn't, optimize it because they didn't have to. You could argue that there are two carts.
Yeah.
If you just stuck them together, they wouldn't fit on one cart. But they might have been some optimization they never got to that they could have done that might have made it possible. So
I just wish I had kept all that. If I had kept it all, it would have been cool of me to do that.
Yeah, it would be cool. Now,
you
did not know some things this past week with Sonic 3.
Tell us more.
And I did not realize when I was picking. First of all, let's talk a little bit about the save system in this thing. It's kind of weird.
Let's do it.
All right. So in the menu system, when you can start a game and you can play, no save. You're just going to risk it. And then there's a bunch of save slots. Mm. When you do the save slots, you can pick to play as when you have the full thing, when you got the whole Sonic 3 with Sonic and Knuckles put together. You can choose to play as Sonic, Tails, Sonic and Tails, and Knuckles. The Sonic and Tails part is pretty cool. Sonic, if you take that one, you'll play Sonic primarily on your primary controller, and then your second controller, you can control Tails. Now, if you're not touching the second controller, Tails will follow you. If you get to a place where you need Tails to fly you over stuff, which you can do, and I did not realize this until later, until somebody pointed out and said, oh, you should pick up Sonic with Tails. And I'm like, what?
Oh,
I can do that.
I didn't know you did that.
So you pick up your second controller and you do your little jumpies and you make your Tails come start fly a little bit. And then you come down, you grab Sonic and you fly him to where you need to go. Now, yeah. Tails is not very, he can only do it for so long before he gets exhausted. And the exhaust animation is hilarious.
Now, that all sounds familiar now that you're saying it again, but I forgot all about it. Totally forgot.
Yeah.
Yeah. But did you see the stuff you did at the end zone there where you beat the boss and then you start bouncing that sign around? I don't remember doing that.
I didn't either. And I did do that and I loved the crap out of it. Now, so I didn't earn everything that I got to play this week on Sonic 3. In other words, I stuck in my Game Gear. I played this on the Mr. FPGA, which has the option for, it has all the cars different ways. You can have Sonic 3 and Sonic and Knuckles put together as a ROM.
Sure.
And then you can, where's I going with that?
I don't know.
Oh,
you're talking about your...
I did stick in the Game Genie.
Genie. You said Game Gear. You meant Genie. Okay.
Yeah, I said Game. That's the reason why I got lost.
Yeah, you're good.
I used the Game Genie cheats.
Chat room's so, like, cheater. Anyway, go ahead.
I did cheat. Like I said, I didn't earn everything I got to play this past week, which kind of felt bad, but I was like, I gotta get through some of these levels.
No, our job is to like break this stuff down. You should do whatever you want.
I couldn't get past the water levels about midweek, and I was like, okay, this is going way too, I'm not going to make it. So I loaded up the cheats, and I was able to go through each of the levels, and my God, some of the levels are amazing. The carnival level, I couldn't stop playing the carnival level, not because I couldn't get through it, but because it was just so freaking good. The music is just amazing. As a matter of fact, you were playing the carnival level music earlier in the pre-show, and while you were talking, I couldn't hear anything you were saying because I was jamming out to it.
Of course you were.
Loved it. But yeah, I got through all the levels, even all the way at the end where you're in space and you're constantly rotating around, and it is just a really good game, and I want to go back and complete it. And I will say now, Sonic 2 was my favorite game out of the Sonic series from this era. But after this week, I can't definitively say that it's going to be my favorite until I complete it without cheating. But so far, it's shooting number one quick.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
My favorite is CD. I think if I had to vote, like I think I'm putting vote at number one, but a lot of people put Sonic 3 and Knuckles at the top.
Good.
A lot of people do.
Good level design.
Yeah.
A lot of variation in gameplay. It's the first time that it really makes use of slowing down and platforming and rewarding you with things. So It's pretty solid. Music is amazing. Layered. Such layered music.
Do you play any of these newer ones? Like, what was the... There was one in 08 called Unleashed. There was...
Unleashed?
Recent, yeah. Sonic Unleashed. I can't remember the...
Yeah.
There's another one now that's out now. It's kind of open worldy.
Yes.
What is that called?
I'll be honest. Me and Sonic haven't talked nearly as much as we should have. At some point in time, I decided that Mario was the superior... mascot platforming experience, and especially such stuff like Super Mario Sunshine and that kind of stuff when it moved into that era. But yeah, I'm having a real resurgence of Sonic, especially with there's the new movie coming out, Part 3. I still haven't seen the first one or the second one. I want to apologize to my good old friend Sonic the Hedgehog. Mm. He was part of one of my first console experiences.
Yeah.
And I kind of just left him back there in my childhood.
Left him where he was at. Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't visit too much, and I feel bad.
Yeah. I agree with you. Boy, this list I'm looking at where they rank them all, they put Sonic CD at 19. I apparently have rosy memories of that game because I love that game so much. They give Sonic 4 a real bad rap.
Interesting.
Sonic 4 episodes 1 and 2, varying degrees of disappointing. Let's see, when did those come out? I don't even know. I didn't look any of that up. They actually give the first Sonic game 26th on the list. Sonic Boom and 28th. Oh yeah, the last one on this is Sonic Boom Rise of the Lyric, which no one liked that game. That was bad.
What's the and of course there's I recently played a little bit of the Sonic the Shadow
of the Hedgehog. Yeah,
the Shadow of the Hedgehog. That's the title.
And that's a bad game, too. That's not a good game.
I love hate it. I love hate what I played. I'm not saying I didn't play it all the way through, so I can't give a full take on it. But the fact that he was using guns, it was so weird.
Yeah.
It was just such a weird thing that I'm okay, I've got guns. All right. Hedgehog with guns. That's kind of badass and kind of dumb.
Well, listen how they pull it over here. Listen how they describe that on this article. They say the whole concept behind Shadow the Hedgehog game is unsavory. Giving a cartoon hedgehog a gun and making him use edgy language, unironically, mind you, while brutally pummeling aliens, Eggman, and even Sonic himself to a pulp.
Eggman
says it's bizarre and not in a good way. Experimental is one thing, but this is too off-brand, even for a spinoff. Plus, the gunplay isn't refined. It feels like a twin-stick shooter mutated into a 3D platform, while not unplayable and fun enough when it occasionally focuses on speed. Shadow the Hedgehog includes a lot of strange decisions that sour the overall experience.
I really feel like, yeah, it's hard to explain. I want to go back and complete it and see if I can get into the head,
the
mindset. Yeah. And see what they were kind of thinking, because it's such a different flavor that I'm almost hesitant to be critical of it, because lots of times it's really easy to be critical of things that if it suddenly bucks the trend, it's like, okay, it goes this direction, then it goes in this different direction. It's really easy just to go, oh, that's outlier, don't like it. Mm. But sometimes it can be valid, and sometimes it's just bad. And I couldn't decide from the short amount of time that I put into it. But
yeah,
it's certainly intriguing.
Yeah.
How about that?
I kind of want to play the new one, though, and they didn't mention it on this list, and I got to find the new game, like newer new game. Sonic game.
New it's Sonic the, game.
It's like 2D. Is it Sonic Superstars? That's it.
Sonic Superstars?
Yeah, it came out right as Mario, the new Mario side-scroller came out, which is a bad move. Don't do that, you dummies.
Stop bringing that whole thing back up.
Let's see if I can find a score on it. It did, okay. Looks like...
Yeah.
IGN gave it a 7 and
how many chaos emeralds do you have to collect? That's all I want to know.
It says there, Sonic Superstars is a mix of both interesting and ill-advised new ideas, making it an enjoyable Sonic game, but not exactly a super one. Oh, that's a bummer.
Yeah.
I kind of want to check it though, because it's the 2D, it's 2.5D, obviously. We live in the freaking,
modern
21st century here. But the feel of it, or the vibe of it, is very much side-scrolly. And you get all the characters, and there's also a battle mode, so you can do kind of the Super Mario Brothers Wii U thing where everyone's playing together. I don't know. I probably should check this out just to see
how it went. Should check it out. Like I said, I'll be playing a lot of Sonic throughout this year, because I have had a love affair rekindled here with Sonic between the three Sonic. And I had no idea coming in. Like, I had saw Sonic and Knuckles. I think the reason why. So we talked early in the show about I like games finding me. I like things, you know, retro equipment finding me, like finding in a thrift store. And sometimes I do it by milestone. So this is at a milestone of 30 years old now. It's 1994. Now it's 2024.
Sure.
And I saw it and I was like, okay, yeah, Sonic and Knuckles, never played it. I've seen it in stores, you know, and I've always wondered why the cart was cut off on the top. Mm-hmm. And I found out why. You can actually stick, of course, Sonic 3 as was intended. So you can have the complete experience, but you also can stick Sonic 2 in the top of it and you can play as Knuckles.
Oh, interesting.
And you can also do Sonic 1. However, it says some kind of weird screen, like, it's kind of like, it's like, yeah, we see you. We see you stuck Sonic 1 in here.
Yeah.
But that ain't going to happen. And you can stick other carts in it too, apparently, and it'll give you different little takes and stuff. But
sure.
I found that fascinating, and I'm glad that they did not do any more stack technology. Oh, wait.
Oh,
they
no.
They stacked everything.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I'm sure that they were done with that forever, and we weren't going to get a giant leaning tower of consoles from Sega not very long after that. No, sir, no way.
It was a unique idea. Look, Sonic, Sega was both at the top of his game and is very representative of everything they had because they had managed to stack some successes, but it was all very wobbly, and it wouldn't be long before it would start. It would start faltering a little bit.
I like the way you put that. It's got a good, what's the word? It's
comparative.
It's compare. Yeah. Well, no. What's the word? There's a word for this. It's
words escape me.
But that's what you're seeing on screen right there. I ultimately ended up with that because I did have I had an old Genesis with that in the side. Oh, the Sega CD is not even on this one.
No, it would generally sit. It would sit underneath or on the side of the main console.
Yeah. Right.
So this is the model 2. We're looking at the model 2, the 32X stacked on top. And you had a flat base where you could get the Sega CD, or I think only the model 2 stacked top. I'm not sure about the model 3.
Well, the model 1. So here's that. Pull it up.
Didn't the model 1 have, you had to do it side by side, I think. And they required different base platforms. It got complicated.
So the first Sega CD, first Genesis combo looked like this. You would stack them.
That was the one that was stackable.
That was the original one that stacked. The one that was separated by like a tray, that was the model 2. And then the new CD device was on the side in that tray thing. Well, the tray was built into the Sega CD, and then you would put your Genesis next to it because you couldn't have one without the other. And then on top of that would go your 32X when that happened. Right. It's all insane, really.
Yeah, it's kind of like how Nintendo did with their clip-on stuff for the Game Boy, right? The Game Boy Color had all kinds of stuff. Same thing with the Sega Genesis. Man, you could stack this thing in stacks on stacks on stacks. Can you imagine having a Sega CD on the bottom of that thing, having your Model 1 above that, throwing in your Game Genie, and which Sega actually supported because Nintendo did not care for it. Mm-hmm. Then stack on top of that the 32X. I think you could stick regular carts in the 32X, and it was still a pass-through.
You could. It was a pass-through system, yeah.
Yeah, so you could, you could stack on stacks on that thing and just make the ugliest, scariest leaning tower of 16-bit, 32-bit era monster that you can imagine.
I mean, look at that nasty ass bastard I got up on screen right now. And I thought this was the epitome of cool. I loved this at the time.
Yeah, it's both a horrible and beautiful, but like Frankenstein.
Here's what else I did.
All at the same time.
I bought the 32X, or sorry, the CDX device, which was a small CD combo thing that did all of it, except for the 32X part. So that was like a small Discman looking thing. And then I had to put the 32X on top of that. And because it was top heavy, I had to like put something behind it to keep the thing from tipping. And I thought that was great. I was into
it. Right. So thanks a lot, Sega.
Yeah. This is some bullshit that we did back then.
But that was the last lock. There was the first and last lock on technology we would get, even though they put it right there in the commercial. Damn it. Dr. Robotnik he wasn't nearly as hard as I remember. I remember him being like disastrously hard, but it reminded me more like of Shinobi and just making sure that you're in the right place and knowing the patterns and stuff, I could have swore he was a lot more tricky.
Yeah.
But I was glad because I didn't need any more challenges.
Yeah.
Just trying to beat the clock was enough.
He did seem like he was meant to be a difficult boss, but I never really struggled with him at all. He was pretty straightforward.
Not at all.
Okay, I found it. This is the setup I had. This is not my photo. Whoops. No. Hold on. I'll put it up on screen so all can see it. Here we go. That's what I had. I had the 32X underneath. That thing had a cool matte finish on it. Oh, I loved it so much.
Oh, yeah.
Controllers plugged into both sides. Yeah. And then on top of it, 32X. This guy's hand is there because he is absolutely making sure it's not tipping.
Yeah, it's going to totally tip back over because it's so back heavy. And the cables are all back there.
They're all back there.
They're pulling back there as well.
Yep.
And it's just like flippity doo-dah.
I thought this was the coolest thing. I took it everywhere. I loved it so much. I wish I had it now. I don't remember what happened to it at all. I must have sold it.
It reminds me of the Sony Discman, but larger, like a supersized, because it's just wide enough to accommodate a CD, right?
Yep.
So I like that. I like that a lot.
It's pretty wild. It makes me want to go and draw like a big monolithic version of this tower.
Yes.
And then put little guys
and have
all
Sonic
it.
Stand at the bottom looking at it going, oh.
Yeah, just have all these Sega characters all around it and stuff. I could sell that as a print, I'll bet, if I worked
you could
on
totally
that.
I would buy that print. What are you talking about?
I'd buy that for a dollar.
Now, I did appreciate all the, you know, all the exploration I got to do with climbing with Knuckles. I'm no good at it, though. Did you get a chance to climb any with Knuckles?
Or I'm okay with it. It's limited areas, so it's not that great in terms of what he lets you do, but it's okay. It's not bad.
And I'm not sure if this is the introduction or not, because I don't remember it in Sonic 1 or 2, but there are areas where you end up falling. There are certain stages that you fall infinitely. So like you just keep falling and you just have chances to jump off of the fall, but you would just keep going through the same pattern over and over again. And that really upset me because I was like, oh, shoot.
I didn't like that.
I can't recognize this.
Well,
this
at first it felt like a glitch. It didn't feel real.
Yeah.
And I was oh, what's wrong with this game? And then you realize, oh, no, no, no. You're supposed to watch for the gap and then hit it just right.
Yeah.
So in a way, kind of innovative because it's an eternal drop for Knuckles unless you figure it out. That's kind of fun, you know? I like that.
For about 5 minutes.
For about five minutes. Now, there's a game a lot of you have never even heard of.
Where's my game genie yet?
Exactly. Here's a game you've probably never heard of, though, and it sounded a little bit like this. Big time Ghostbustery sounding. This is a game I didn't know existed until we started doing the research on this one. It is called Sonic the Hedgehog Triple Trouble. It came out in 1994 for the Game Gear. I thought also it came on Genesis. No, did it not?
No. So this is the follow. This is Triple Trouble because I didn't know this either until this past week. This is the follow up to the first one, which was what's the first one called? Anyway, this is a part two. The first was one that was on the Genesis and the Game Gear. This was exclusively Triple Trouble was exclusively for the Game Gear.
Gotcha. Okay, I got to find the right video for that then because it was confusing to me and that's maybe why it screwed me up. But I'd never played this one.
Right.
It was well regarded. From what I've read, people seem to dig it. But this was
the last. I think this was the last game that came out from STI. So I think this is the last one from the Sega Technical Institute on the Sonic games. And this allowed you to play as Tails, Knuckles. And I thought it was kind of relevant. And I looked into it and I was like, oh, yeah, I got to get this for the Game Gear because this is fun. This looks more like the Sonic 2 and kind of stuff I'm used to where you feel like you're moving along pretty quickly.
Yeah, not bad for an 8-bit system either. It looked pretty good.
No.
Yeah. I mean, the Game Gear actually had pretty good graphics for what it was.
Not bad. It was always hindered by its battery consumption. That was always the thing that killed the Game Gear because it was definitely, it looked good. But Sega just learned a thing that Nintendo already knew. It's like, it don't matter. If it eats batteries, kids can't afford batteries.
Yeah.
End of discussion.
Yeah, you go to your parents. What are you going to do? Hey, Mom, Dad, I need another box of batteries just for the next 15 minutes of use. Like,
yeah.
What a terror. I mean,
they can just plug it in. Well, then why even have it?
I kind of respect them for going for it. yeah. even though
well, they went for a
the
lot.
Reason the Game Boy, the original Game Boy was black and white was the same reason. They were like, we wanted to do color, but we couldn't yeah. do, the battery couldn't do it. And yeah. so we didn't
we
want people
to do it.
We wanted people to be able to play for more than 10 minutes. And Sega's like, F that, play for 10 minutes. We'll make our own battery brand and you can buy our batteries or something. I don't know.
That's right. So it just a follow up. It was the Sonic the Hedgehog Triple Trouble, one we're talking about now, was the sequel to Sonic Chaos, which was the you know, the one that was on both the Game Gear and the Genesis.
Right. And I don't know, maybe worth going back to. I found yeah. that in playing older Game Boy or Game Gear games these days, they all hold up pretty well, surprisingly. Because yes. I remember even at the time going, these aren't going to last. This isn't going to be very long.
This is a flash in the pan. Yeah. Who's going to?
It felt like it, right? It felt like a flash yeah. in the pan. But I'll tell you what, doing yeah. emulation on these things on better devices that don't die in yes. 2 minutes, pretty good. It's pretty good.
Best experience you can have of this. Don't pick it up on Steam. Forget that crap because they've got that modified music stuff. I mean, if you got to get the Sonic Origins, I suppose if you have to. If you want to live life a little bit, my first experience before I got my Mister running and getting everything running was a fan made version of this. You just have to have the ROMs.
Yep.
And in lots of cases, if you already had purchased Sonic, if you already purchased Sonic 3 in some form or factor on Steam, you probably could extract the ROM from there and then insert it into this fan-made wrapper called Sonic 3 Air, A.I.R, which is the first level, I believe, name. The Angel Island.
Oh.
Angel Island Revisited. That's what it is. And this is such a smooth experience. It's free. If you already got the ROM, do it. This is definitely going to be your best experience unless you have something, like I said, like FPGA where you can do it, or if you've got the original hardware. This is definitely the best way to go.
Chat room agrees with you. They're all singing the praise there.
Yes, it is. It was very good. Beautiful interface, allows you to kind of have whatever you can kind of adjust some of the experience stuff that makes it even more playable. It's good stuff. So that is Sonic 3 Air, Angel Island Revisited. And it's got the widescreen remaster stuff that you can do. It's good. It's great. Check it out.
How much Rule 34 no. Sonic do you think exists on the internet? Do you think there's a lot?
All of it.
Okay. That's what I think too. Sonic for some reason. The fandom around Sonic in general is a little weird. It's a little freaky.
Yeah. Yeah.
I get it. It's fine. You guys do what you're going to do. It's the same reason I don't understand why Shrek is such a meme generator.
Meme machine?
Yeah, why? Yeah. Why? It's freaking Shrek. Why?
If I'm assuming it's just like everything else. If it was in your childhood, you know, if that me and you were a little bit older for Shrek, all we saw was we didn't see Shrek. We saw a comedian doing a voice.
Yeah, we saw a guy we liked from SNL. Comedians. Exactly. But I totally get that. And the nostalgia part I get. But what is it about that versus other stuff of that same era for kids that is not meme-y? Like, I get why SpongeBob's right. meme-y. It makes sense to me. Yeah, I get why... Yeah. What's the other one that I always think of? Crap, can't think of it. Anyway, I can't think of it. Why can't I think of it? There was another one. Anyway, I guess, you know what?
Why does some things lend itself to ironic or a sexuality kind of thing, maybe?
Maybe, or just in general, what makes
a
meme?
I kind of understand Shrek because... I kind of understand Shrek because Fiona, you know, is kind of like that. I guess it's not that far of a leap from going, what would a sexy ogre look like?
Yeah, but I never see her. It's always Shrek making dumb faces and stuff.
I know.
The other one's Family Guy. I don't know why Family Guy is so memeable and you see it everywhere. Yeah. Memes constantly with Family Guy. Family Guy's fine. I don't have a problem with Family Guy. I just don't understand why that one got the meme treatment and something else.
Now, so we're going back to the meme machine and not necessarily about the Rule 34, right?
No, I don't care about 34. That happens no matter what you do. Go search for.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't think of anything right now. Oh, you know what? Search for Knuckles. Well, don't do that.
Oh my God! Yeah, if you looked up Knuckles, right now, I would be afraid.
Yeah, I don't want to go there.
To leave my safe search off. Yeah.
Rule 34 is weird. So is just what makes me meme and what doesn't.
What makes it memeable? I don't know.
It's a good question. It's all very weird. All right. Well, with that knowledge under our belt, let's dive into this.
Welcome.
Wrong one.
Destroy it.
Yes, that's right. When Scott pushes two wrong buttons in one show, you know you're in for a good time.
Two wrong buttons make a right.
That's right. We're going to do Guess My Game. We guess each other's game based on some old audio. We try to suss out what those things are with three questions or less before we have to give our answer. We also give a little info up front. So I'm going to start this week by telling you my game, Brian, that you're going to guess is a PlayStation 1 title from the year 1998.
Oh, all right. In the thick of it.
Yep. It is in the genre of the Japanese RPG or JRPG. And it is published by Square Electronic Arts, which is weird. They had a deal back then, but it was developed by Squaresoft. So it's a Square game. That's all you really need to know there. So a Square JRPG game from 1998, PlayStation 1. Are you ready for your audio?
Give me it. Give me my audio, please, sir.
Here it is now. I'll take
it hot. Oh, I already know what this is. No, I'm just kidding.
I do not know what this is. That's just a little bit of intro meat there. Hold
on. I like that noise though. It kind of reminds me of some old anime. Like there was just a
right. Oh, here you go.
Not the audio I was expecting coming out of the PlayStation.
There's some actual fighting. I will say it featured random battles like your average JRPG. It was three dimensional mostly. There's a lot of weird sprite work, but. Here's an actual fight. I mean, honestly, I could tell you that was Final Fantasy, and you'd probably believe me, but it's not.
Yeah, I would totally. As a matter of fact,
I'll tell you that. That's one of my freebie informations here. This is not Final Fantasy.
Well, good, because that's going to take me off track, because that's kind of what I would have thought. Some kind of maybe spinoff or something of a Final Fantasy game, but guess not, huh? PlayStation 1, 1998, Square Electronic Arts. What a weird.
Don't worry about them, though. They did was publish it. So there's nothing.
I know, but I'm trying to put myself in the headspace. JRPG. Wow.
Yep. Cool, right?
This is way cool music. I love it. I really just don't know. Let's see. Wow.
Yeah.
There sounds like there's guns involved.
Oh, yeah. I love this music.
So it's not necessarily set in the fantasy era.
I mean, I would call it. I'll help you with that. I'd say it's a combination of both.
There we go.
Kind of in the same.
I need to ask that question. I have a question on it. So, yeah, is it fantasy?
It's a combination of fantasy and science fiction in the same way that Final Fantasy VI is sort of that, too.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Let's start asking some questions here. We've got the not fantasy necessarily. It's not fantasy proper. Is this a series of games?
Yes.
Do I think of it as being a series of games? Okay.
Oh, I don't know if you think of it as one, but I can tell you that it is a series.
Let's put it this way. Is there 1, 2, 3, and 4s of this, or is it the jump around?
I can tell you. I'm going to look real quick to make sure I'm not wrong here. Do we have sequels and story?
So I guess kind of like, is it kind of parallel to like a Final Fantasy where it's like an old, crusty, it's been around forever
kind of. I mean, it's ugly, its first appearance is this platform. So okay. This is the first in the series.
If it's the first time it's on the platform, that's definitely not what I'm thinking then. Okay. That does help.
I can't find all. Maybe I'm wrong about that. Let me just make sure.
You're probably fine. Yes. But it's the fact that you don't think it's not immediate. Like that, then it's probably not obvious. It maybe have some weird naming conventions.
Oh, okay. Okay, here we go. I'm going to give you a little info that may help you.
All right.
The first title, which is this game, was originally proposed as a storyline for Final Fantasy VII as a spinoff.
Oh, wait. But I recently read some stuff about that.
They started over and did their own deal.
Gosh, I recently read about this.
It was also supposed to be a sequel to Chrono Trigger, but that didn't have. That's not what it is either. It's its own thing.
So it's not part of Chrono Trigger? Interesting.
There is a series, but it's not like.
Not like you would think. Not like okay, so it sounds like. Okay.
It's not direct series. Not like a 1, 2, and 3 like that. It's
right. Well, let's just say it doesn't matter. I still don't know.
all right, you got one question left.
Ah, shit, I don't know. Is this Sky Arcadia.
It is not Sky Arcadia. Is that your last question or your guess?
That's my... I know it's not even a thing, but I don't know anything else.
All right. Then you are...
But it just sounds like something that would come out of Square.
Well, you're not wrong about that. I agree with you there.
Right.
But you're incorrect. The answer is Xenogears.
Xenogears. Okay. All right.
Now, there was the Xeno series created Xenogears, Xenoblade Chronicles,
Xenoblade. I definitely know. Okay. I didn't know it was a Xenogears.
Okay. So it goes all the way back to 98. This is the game that started it all. I was right about that. Then in 2002, they did Xenosaga Episode 1. 2004, Xenosaga Freaks, Xenosaga Episode 2, and Xenosaga Pied Piper. I don't even know if all this made it to the States. Okay. Some of it did.
All right.
Xenoblade Chronicles, yeah. I believe, did.
I know the franchise. I could have guessed it. All right.
And as recently as 2 years ago, 2022, Xenoblade Chronicles 3 happened. So.
Yeah, Xenoblade I've messed around a little bit with, and I love... I didn't know those were Xeno... Did I know those were Xenogears?
I don't know if you did or not.
I don't recognize this cover. I don't recognize this box art at all. So
my review is right up there with Stoic Squirrels. He says, I love Xenogears, but the last part of the game dragged on forever. That is correct. That last thing was a grind.
Interesting. All right. Now I got something else to explore.
All right, Brian, I'm going to play your clip. Tell me what it's what my setup is.
Okay. So we've got, we're on the PC Windows. Not the only place it was at, but this is where we captured the audio from. The year was 2000. That's right. We're past the Y2K scare, and we're in 2000. Is a first-person shooter, and it's IDOS. Interactive.
Oh, my gosh.
I see IDOS.
Yeah, it's IDOS. I would say back then I said IDOS? It's close.
IDOS. Yeah. IDOS.
They got bought out. They got bought by Square, yeah. And then now they're their own thing again, I think.
So we got some Square stuff.
Anyway.
Square connection.
Let's give it a shot. First person shooter, you said, right?
FPS, yes, sir.
Wow. Sorry, let me check the year. 2000.
Yeah, keep listening.
So it's not that far off from my game.
There may be some like little cues there that maybe like that kind of stuff.
Like that.
Yeah. If you recognize that, then you'll trigger memory.
Okay. Shit. All right. Where you're going. I gotta ask some questions.
Ask some questions.
You say this is a Windows thing? Windows joint?
Yeah, but don't there was one other platformer it made it to. Do you wanna know? I'll tell you that. It made it to the N64 as well.
And did you say platform? No, you said shooter.
Yeah, FPS.
Thinking. I can't think. I don't know. I don't even know what to ask. Okay, was it... Oh! Is this the weird John Romero thing?
You said a name that makes sense.
Went to Ion Storm, which was part of IDOS.
Ion Storm would be your developer.
Okay, so I know this. This is, hold on. I'm gonna get it. Don't tell me. It's a Japanese-sounding name.
I wouldn't tell you.
Daikatana,
yes, first-person shooter. Was directed by Ion Storm co-founder John Romero. Yeah. Received generally not great reviews.
No, that's a bad game, dude. That game sucks ass. It's not good.
It is, but it's something that I kind of want to play.
I mean, we could talk about it for the show to see where they went wrong. But back in the day, this was very highly anticipated. You had your ex-Doom and Quake guy.
We were so excited about this game.
Yeah, we were stoked. So it was John Romero. He was going to go do the next big thing, and he had all this funding. They went to Texas offices down there. They made Deus Ex with that company on Storm. Mm-hmm. They made this. And there was one other one. Deus Ex, of course, became an amazing game. But yeah, this was poo. It was a poo game.
Yeah.
And I don't think it held up, man. It was bad.
I don't think it held up either, but I played just a couple of minutes of it. I think this is one of the ones I was trying around with that controller I told you I had. Mm. And it, you know, at first blush, it's fine. But I know it was, I remember being so excited about it. I remember having a lot of problems. Mm. And I never ended up playing it. And so I always kind of want to go back and revisit and see if it was as bad as everybody said, or if it was just an okay game and, you know, the expectations were too high. But I definitely think it has an interesting story behind it.
Yeah, the story's cool. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
The gameplay was busted. It was not good.
Busted.
So this is what you get this week. And this is what I get this week.
Yeah.
Look at that. I win.
You did it.
Take that, jerks.
We did it.
All right, well done on that.
I think we all won.
No, we have all, in the end, we won.
Welcome
together.
To the treasure room.
It's time for some feedback. We like to get that in two ways. We get it on a text/voicemail line, 801-471-0462, or an email, playretroshow@gmail.com. Either are good. We'll take it no matter what you send. We got this from Alan.
Alan!
Who says this? Myth! Please do Myth at some point. Played the hell out of those games back in the day. Lots of fun, says Alan. Yeah, no, I think we mentioned it last week. It was the Bungie game.
We did.
Before things got crazy with Halo. And I was a massive fan of Myth. Myth was great. So yeah. I can promise you, when we swing back around to some PC love, which we're kind of doing next week anyway, but when we do a little more PC focus, I think Myth deserves some spotlight. It was real good.
I think so, too. It is high up. It keeps bubbling up to the top. Agreed. Yep. Myth. Yep.
Like a little booger trying to get out. We're going to do Myth. But next week, we're not doing Myth. In fact, next week, we're doing Prince of Persia. Why, you say? Why are we doing Prince of Persia?
Why?
Well, look around, pay attention. We got a massive amount of time since that game happened, a massive amount of influence exerted by said game. But also, there's a brand new Prince of Persia game that just came out last week that is getting rave reviews. And a lot of people are
if the company is going through a bit of a kerfuffle with people, with words.
With stuff.
Were spoken.
Yeah. They're always, you know, Ubisoft always lately kind of in a weird thing PR-wise. But
right.
I think they got a real hit on their hands here, and it's not loaded full of free-to-play bullshit, and it's a good game. So I'm supposed to be playing that by next time we talk. And if I am playing it by then, I'll speak directly to it.
Yeah, I want to play it for a little bit, The Prince of Persia, the new one. We're going to talk about the old one. And if you're not familiar, same guy who did Karateka did Prince of Persia. And I'm so tempted to talk everything about Karateka next week, but I really want it to be his own thing because, God, I love that game. In Prince of Persia, I didn't really play the first one that much. I played, that was that 2012 when the movie tie-in came in or whatever. I played some of that, but I really haven't visited it too much.
Prince of Persia Sands of Time was excellent. That was before Assassin's Creed kind of took over that whole thing and kind of became Assassin's Creed. But as much of a fan as I am of those, it's the original that I think I credit for a lot of things, like, you know, do Metroidvanias even exist without the original Prince of Persia? I'm not sure they do.
Right.
I
agree.
Breaking new ground, that stuff.
Yeah, and the rotoscoping stuff, if you like how Karateka worked and played, guess what? Prince of Persia kind of got that same vibe to it. And it's got a lot of story to talk about.
Well, awesome. We're going to do that next week, guys. So stay frosty and be ready for that. But in the meantime, I'd like to thank some brand new patrons. Trevor Collins, Steve, and Robert Rothhound.
Rothhound.
I think I'm saying it right. Patreon.com/playretro is where they went to become part of the broader Play Retro family, where you get no commercials or ads, you get pre-show content every week, and you get monthly benefits that only you can get. That includes, by the way, the video version of all the pre-show and post-show each and every week as well. So check that out. That's hidden to the rest of the world, except you. When you sign up today at patreon.com/playretro, everything else is at frogpants.com/playretro. Brian, that's going to be it for us. Do you have any final parting wisdom thoughts before we go?
Yes, I have no master except the wind that blows free.
Oh, my Lord. Take that to heart. Play some retro games. We'll see you next week.
Get more at frogpants.com.
Lock on technology.